my future outlook here is by the end of this month, and if you guys watched any of the press conference yesterday, Mnuchin was very clear. If we need more, we will give more. And I think it's the best thing to say in this time, because the biggest problem that people are having is thinking, will I get the money? Will there be enough when I am approved?
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? It's your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with a very interesting episode today. For those of you who are watching the video side of it, you'll see that this is the first time we're filming from my home studio. We're not in our fancy studio. We're using Zoom to do this. And I've got a couple of guests with me that I'm excited to have and to bring on today. We're going to dive right into it. Now, we're also doing something unique, and that's we're actually streaming live on my personal Facebook page right now, too. So if you, I don't know, it's going to create a lot of confusion, so just bear with us on this episode. Now, coming future episodes over the next few weeks, you're going to see that I'm quote-unquote back in my studio. Don't worry, I'm totally practicing social distancing. Our offices are completely closed. Those episodes were priorly recorded when all of this madness wasn't happening. So before we get started, hope everyone's staying safe, staying inside, and listening to all the things that we're supposed to be doing. It's madness out there, but hey, the economy is taking huge hits and entrepreneurs are suffering, but there is solutions out there. And that's what today's episode is about. Our government, at least in America here, has released a $2.2 trillion package of grants and loans and all kinds of madness. And there is a frenzy right now. Right? As I record this today, there is a frenzy. Literally, people are just going mad. It's hard enough to know which programs you should apply for or which programs apply to you. But then on top of that, it's a matter of trying to figure out, you know, how to get them. And I don't envy the government trying to figure out how to give $2.2 trillion away in a short time span. But today with me, I've got two amazing individuals, Mike and Chris. Chris has founded a company that literally specializes in this very thing, Corporate Cap Solutions. I was connected to them just recently, days ago, by my CPA, Tom Wheelwright, whose recommendations I always trust. And he's also been on this podcast in the past. And when I got on the phone with them, very quickly, I knew that they were the right people to navigate me through the massive options we have right now. And I'm very happy that I did, because they're going to be really helpful to learn and to my other companies. And I think they're going to be very helpful to you as well. So today's interview, we're going to go through what the programs are, and then more specifically, how the heck do you get them? How do you actually access them? All right. So without further ado, Chris, thank you so much for being here. Mike, thank you so much for being here, gentlemen. I want to dive right into it because I know people are hungry for answers. So if you guys don't mind, I want to ask you a few quick, like rapid fire questions. And of course I had, you know, my questions here and now I don't have them anymore. But before we do that, do you guys mind just really quickly introducing yourselves? Like, what is it that your company does? Why are you the right ones to be counseling people through this moment right now?
Well, thanks for the kind words, Anik. You know, we appreciate everything you just said. And, you know, we feel the same way about you. We think you're great and we'd be happy to help you and, you know, everyone who's a fan of your show here. Chris, you know, you want to take it, give them some background on our company, what we do?
Absolutely. Anik, I want to say thank you again, obviously, for having us on your show. And obviously, thank you, you know, to all the people out there that are listening right now. Number one, you know, this is a time of crisis. So with the banks, the lending facilities and vehicles that are out there, you have a lot of people that are getting very, very tight, and there's a lot of uncertainty. So you had a situation where the U.S. Treasury stepped in to produce a $2.2 trillion stimulus package broken down in various sectors of the market right now, but we're speaking precisely to small businesses, okay? That's where we're directing our attention. The reason being is because that's the backbone of our country. Obviously, without small businesses, you know, we have a lot of uncertainty going forward that they could be, you know, around a month from now. So the way that they structured this program, I want to start from there. The forgiveness period, the covered period as it's detailed in the bill, it is the forgiveness period in which the SBA will reevaluate how funds were allocated when companies are still around and survive through this, which we will. I want to make sure that's a key point. We are going to get through this. We have the helping hand of the U.S. government behind us. And the reason why we are such a good fit to assist individuals in the direction of the SBA programs that have been made available right now in this unique time is because of the network of nationwide lenders that we have been dealing with for the past decade. These are individuals all the way from the Chases and the B of A's of the world, all the way down to your small community bank. Outside of the bigger banks, there's a lot of opportunity for these SBA direct lenders. They are predominantly focused on SBA programs. So in some cases, Chases, B of A's, these larger, too big to fail brands, they're not, there's not enough skin in the game, for lack of a better term there, Anik. I hope you understand that expression. But the bottom line is that where we fit in is expediting and consulting your paperwork on a fast-track pace to funding. Now, what that means, we, again, with our nationwide lender base, we have very strong relationships with individual at the bottom level all the way to the top level. So using those relationships to expedite your funding and using a little bit of leverage on our value, we're going to get you guys funded in a much, much quicker fashion. The money is $359 billion. It is not endless. So what we feel is there is a time crisis being created. And a lot of people outside of this room, they are creating panic. So I don't want anybody to panic. I want you to know that we're here for you. Not only that, but most importantly, we'll get the job done for you. Our relationships are stronger than ever now. We pivoted at the right time. We foresaw this coming, and we made the proper adjustments. Because of that, that's why we're here today. But most importantly, that's why we're taking care of and assisting the companies of the magnitude that we are. So I hope that answers your question, Anik.
No, it really does.
Piggyback off what Chris said real quick. You know, it's important to know it's not like we just started doing this kind of stuff and just saw an opportunity. We're like, oh, let's do that now. We've been cultivating relationships and contacts for about a decade now. So, and we've been doing SBA loans and have a familiarity with what's going on. So it was a natural fit, like, okay, we can help these people now. And that's what we're doing. We've pivoted. We've essentially stopped all other aspects of our company that we do. You know, we do development, real estate, all this other stuff. We put a hold on all that and are focusing solely on this right now. So, you know, that's what we've been up to. It's been a lot of long nights lately, but here we are.
Yeah, I can imagine you guys are very busy right now. Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time to be here to talk to our audience. And I want to throw the information out on how to get a hold of them right at the beginning of this episode, which we never do, but I know there's so many people that need help so badly. So gotcha. What I would recommend is you send an email to info, I-N-F-O, at corporatecapcapsolutions.com. That again is info, I-N-F-O, at corporatecapsolutions.com. And you know what? In the subject line, just put my name, put Anik Singhal or put the Fighting Entrepreneur or something so that their team knows to kind of grab it and maybe give it a little bit of a nudge or a little rush. They didn't really say that, but I just kind of put them on the spot now. So hopefully happens. Right? So I want to do a little rapid fire question because I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs that follow the Fighting Entrepreneur and are a part of Learn Nation. Some that are more tenured, they have revenue, they have payroll, they have team members. And then we have a lot of entrepreneurs that are just getting started, right? So they have full-time jobs, they're still working, but they have these like side businesses, things that they've created. Maybe they're doing well, maybe they're not. There's a question of, do I qualify? Do I get any money? And so I had some rapid fire questions I wanted to go through, and then we'd get deeper into breaking down this, you know, the things. So my first question is, rapid fire, is someone with a full-time job and a small internet-based side hustle. So they have full-time income and they have a side company where they make a little bit of money, a grand or so a month, or do they have any programs right now that would help them?
It's a great question, Anik. The number one thing that I would suggest that they start to look into is on SBA.gov. There is an EIDL program that, again, they are leaving all the documents there for you to do. Or, again, with the email that you had, you can always reach out to us and we can assist you through that. The EIDL is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. These are for, you know, businesses under 2 years, credit quality is decent, you know, revenue doesn't have to be dramatic. This is more or less the helping hand that the U.S. government has spun into a $10,000 grant. Okay, so initial capital to get your hands on that, to just stay operational or maybe to do a couple of other things, it's going to have to do with the EIDL and the $10,000 grant. Okay, that money can almost be advanced to you immediately. I've had some people get done within hours, some people within 24 to 48 hours. Okay, so that's just a grant. And I want to add one thing. The only caveat to the IDL is that if you did receive it already or plan to, and you're in the process of applying for the PPP, there are a lot of requirements from the banks themselves that they will want to buy out the previous EIDL balance. So that will go into the PPP money. So here is a little thing that we help our clients with. There's another EIDL program. It's called a Bridge Loan Pilot Program. It's a $25,000 quick advance of capital. Again, requirements very, very low. Now, what we're doing is we're obtaining that for some of our clients. And then as this PPP funding takes place, buying out the $25,000 that would have been paid back. However, because of the wiggle room with the PPP, with some of the capital flexibility, we're able to buy out the $25,000 and essentially make it forgivable. Little twist that we work with, because again, that's from a professional standpoint. We want to try to create the best, let's call it vehicle, for our client. And if that takes one or two comboing, putting them together and eliminating two, left with one, that's what we're doing.
So what Chris is saying is, you know, if a guy does have a full-time job and a small business on the side, yes, there are options for them. And there are ways to maximize those options. It's just, you need to kind of get creative sometimes and know what you're doing and know how to get them. So the short answer, Anik, yes. If you have a business on the side, the answer is yes.
And that's what's really neat is, see, again, you guys, you turned 10,000 into 25. And so that was like a magic act right there. That was pretty cool.
And I got it forgiven for
you. We've been digging hard to find these.
Quick question, personal, selfish question here. I have multiple companies and some that are high revenue producing, some that are very low revenue producing. Let's just say for a minute, I probably have like 8 companies. Should I be applying for the EIDL for all of them?
Well, do you want to have that conversation now, Anik, or also?
Well, we could talk about anyone else because a lot of my friends and a lot of people watching, they have multiple companies. And so is EIDL one per person or is it one per company?
It's one per business.
It's one per
EIN. So as long as you have separate EINs and you don't run 3 businesses all under the same EIN, then yeah.
Got it. Wow.
You got to be careful because if you are going for huge money on, one of the SBA loans or something, you just want to be careful that you don't take something small that precludes you from getting something else. So you just got to be strategic and smart about where you go with it.
Absolutely. Got it. Cool. All right. Well, so this is another reason. If you have a complicated corporate structure, don't just run out and start filing things. This is why I didn't and why my CPA said, go work with someone who's an expert so that we don't do exactly that, make a big mistake. Now, what about your plumbers, electricians, a hairstylist, Uber drivers? This is my second person. What is available to someone like them? So they're kind of a sole proprietor type of person.
So in regards to the Uber driver, I think that might be a unique because they technically work for Uber, if I'm correct. I'm not an Uber driver, so I don't know.
Yeah, I personally don't know either. I would imagine they're contractors.
I would have thought they might be 1099. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, it's one we haven't come across on it, to be perfectly honest.
Exactly. That's one of those unique things because I think that at the end of the day, they work for Uber. But let's just, aside from that, the independent contractor. Next Friday, they will start funding independent contractors and self-employed individuals. If you carry payroll, or your own payroll, okay, you will be eligible for this PPP loan, okay? The main objective here is to keep jobs alive. So today, started the process of funding small businesses and sole proprietors. Next Friday, independent contractors, as well as self-employed individuals, are then eligible to start and begin applying. So in answer to your question on it, yes. The plumber, the contractor, the GC, okay, the electrician, all right, all the guys that keep our foundation here in America sound, those guys have the same opportunity that the larger businesses do as well. So they are not forgotten in this bill. And more importantly, it's an expedited process for them because they're an individual. Underwriting to this is very, very short, sweet, to the point. Money will be in your pockets quick, guys.
Got it. And so not just the PPP for a minute, but for, because I was watching something about this, and I think even Tom Wright spoke about it. So let's say you're a hairstylist and you're an independent contractor. You can now apply for unemployment as well, correct? Like, I think it's almost like up to $4,000 a month or something, depending on what state you're in, I guess. But that's new. So if you were an independent contractor and now have lost all your business, but you don't have payroll, you don't have a corporate structure, you can go for unemployment.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know the exact ins and outs and dollar amounts, but yes, that's true.
That is true.
And that's a state thing. That you don't go to the bank for that. You don't go to SBA for that. You go to your state unemployment department for that, I'm assuming.
I think it's just the regular way. Yeah, it's through the state government.
Being that this Got is a it. Federal law that was passed, that may be different on it. But again, I don't know the intricacies of it. But unemployment is typically a state-by-state governance. So
it's always been state-by-state. I assume it's the same. I don't want to give the wrong answer. You know, that's not really our field. I don't want – but, you know, we
Oh, no, it's perfect.
That.
Thank you. And that's a fair answer. So I'm going to try to summarize what I've understood, because I have been immersed in this for the last week trying to study it. So obviously, if you have payroll as a business, PPP is an amazing program. You've got to get into it. You've got to make sure you plug
like
into
a
that. And for that, I highly recommend going with these guys. If you don't have payroll, but you do have a company, then you've got the $10,000 immediate forgivable grant by EIDL. You've got, and if you truly did lose business because you're a restaurant and they forced you to shut down, then you've actually got more capital available through EIDL. But in addition to that, what I've been understanding is that there are a lot of loans available from the SBA that kind of have been around for a while. Like, it's common for SBA to be offering loans, but it seems like all of a sudden now there's an opportunity there. Have they reduced their requirement for a loan? Like, why is it better to get an SBA loan now than it was maybe a year ago?
I'll answer that, Chris, and then you can jump in. I'll get started. So there always have been these traditional SBA products that are available, and they still are. But the difference is now really that they've kind of created new ones. So like the EIDL is like a version of an SBA. They put in the new Express program. They've changed the requirements. They've changed the dollar amount, the term length, the rate, the interest, all that stuff. On the SBA 7A, which is like the most traditional SBA product, they've went out to 30 years now. They've increased the dollar amount to $10 million. So it's not so much that they've changed each product, but they've added new ones in and made adjustments to try to help everyone out in this time. And Chris can expand on that, but that's the long story. Long and short of it, I think, is that there's new ones that are SBA-related products and that they've really tailored them now toward what's going on and how they can help people get as much money for as short and quick of a process as possible.
So, just add to that. So if you want to go back, you know, before this time, let's go back a month, 2 months, okay? Before this, you're looking at the 7A, the 504, okay? 7A is the SBA 7A program. This is strictly for working capital, debt consolidation, you know, possible line of credit. Okay. What this does is essentially they have not made the modifications to date. The interpretation is that 10 million is where the 7A is going to be. 10 million. That is what the maximum dollar amount is going to be in 30 years. Prior to this, it was a $5 million cap with a 10-year term. Unless there was real estate involved, there would only be a 10-year cap. So for all 7A programs at this juncture, and it is bank by bank discretion. I want to be very clear about that. Bank by bank. And again, that's where we come in handy. We'll get you that full 30. But with that said, the 30-year note is brand new. That's a modification. That is with the 7A. That's with now the EIDL being a 30-year note going up to 2 million. But again, I want to touch on things that were around before. The 504 program, this is commercial real estate specific. So if you're looking for construction to purchase a property, if you're looking for commercial property that is already existing, okay, that will encumber all of that, the construction costs and the mortgage. They will put that together in a 25-year note up to $5.5 million. That has not been changed whatsoever because real estate at this juncture is really at a halt, okay, for a lot of people, okay? Unfortunately, you have had a lot of lenders that, you know, banks and lenders, excuse me, whether it be private or, you know, larger, these guys, virtual appraisals, okay? It's becoming an issue. People don't want to get to the table. I just spoke to a client this morning. He actually was called in by the title company to close on a $6 million property. I was shocked. He told me they actually called him to come in. So there are companies out there doing it. Real estate is around. Very few and far between. And I want to go a little bit further. My lending sources, they are devoting 100% of their financial resources to the PPP program as we speak. Okay, this pivot was made because of the adjustment in the market. Like I said to you, we foresaw this coming. And this is something that, again, Anik, I think you and I really see eye to eye with, is that foresight, history. What is next? We made sure to be ahead of next. So again, when those legislations were being talked about, deals were dying from our real estate division, our bridge lending division, you know, our conventional lending division, which is one of the most conservative and consistent divisions. Of when deals started to die, I said, take a step back. What do we do next? Now, SBA, we've been privy to SBA for the last 6 years, 7 years. Throughout that time, I have brought on a ton of connections. Let me just be clear. So when I started to speak to the larger banks, engage their interest, I got the eager ones were the SBA guys. Why? This is opportunity. The banks, you may have spoken to your local banks. You may have spoken to your larger national brands. They will tell you directly, and mark my words, there has been letters sent out by B of A. There have been people on, you know, Chase internally speaking to my clientele, them relaying to me, hey, we're not ready. Catch us next week. I feel very confident that these larger banks, there is not enough skin in the game. We made the pivot appropriately at the right time. So these SBA lenders, their primary focus is SBA. They've put 504, 7A, Express to the side. PPP is their focus. So my point, these national brands, they're not going to be as helpful. And I'm not talking bad about them. I bank with them. But at the end of the day, this is about keeping jobs alive, people paid. This is not so much a loan as it is a Band-Aid to get you from point A to point B. Okay?
Got it.
So a lot of
new products, like Chris is saying, like the PPP, like this is what the banks and people are starting to focus on. So what does that tell you? That's where it's at right now. So even though there are these traditional products that are out there and have always been there, this is what there's everyone so knows. This is the move right now. And that's why people are starting to focus on it. And that's the focus right now. So even though there are the traditional ones that are still there, those aren't for everyone right now. 90% of the people, they're looking at these new ones that were created or tailored specifically for this recently.
And here's a primary example. And I just to add real quick, you had community banks opening up their checkbooks today. You did. Mm-hmm. Now their lines of liquidity are not as vast as your Chase's and a lot of these other places. So they're going to be doing a lot of micro side. They're going to be servicing a lot of the smaller companies. You know, they're doing 20, 30,000 in payroll, 40,000 in payroll. They were doing those today. They said they accumulated over 1,900 loans, some, you know, a couple hundred million. So you have a lot of smaller businesses getting in the door with some of these community banks. But again, their lines aren't as vast. So if you're a big company, you have a lot of employees up to 500. Again, that's the max. I would recommend at least reaching out to us or some other financing consultant to lead you down a path to a direct lender who's SBA affiliated. That's what I would suggest.
Got it. And I want everyone to understand something. We were talking about there is, so for me personally, I've never ever even remotely considered an SBA loan. It just was not, didn't sound like anything I cared for or wanted to do. But today the time has changed. I am very much so considering it because the terms are so favorable and because they've opened it up. And quite honestly, it'll help me a lot, right? It'll actually help me grow my company faster, which is what they want. They want me to go ahead and infuse that money back into the economy. So there is the 7A, there's the Express, there's the EIDL, there's a bunch of programs. Go to SBA.gov. Or a lot of you might be listening to this right now and thinking, what the heck are they talking about? The first time a week ago when I started researching this, I swear I was listening to YouTube videos that sounded like this and I thought, what the heck are they talking? So do this. Let them guide you through it. Message them at info@corporatecapsolutions.com. Give your scenario. Worst case, what? They tell you, hey, you don't qualify. But right. Best case, you find a program where you can get something and it can help you ride this period out.
All right, and so, Anik, you know, and this is my job, and you know, sometimes I think, what the heck are these people talking about? And it makes my head spin. So for people who aren't, you know, have a background in this, I understand how tough it can be.
And I want everyone to feel comfortable. Even though I've been researching this for a week, every day I see something new, hear something new, and I send them an email. And I say, hey, does this apply to me? And even during this interview, when we finish it, I have another question that I'll send to them that's a personal question. And they've been amazing during this time, which is really impressive. So hats off to you guys, because I know you're getting slammed.
Thank you, Annika. I appreciate it.
So a question I have for you, $2.2 trillion. So this is I hear these terms, right? So I watch the task force debriefings, and so they say $2.2 trillion. Then they'll say, well, it's really more like $6.2 trillion, because there's $4 trillion over here and $2.2 trillion over here. And then I hear, okay, $2.2 trillion, but the PPP is $350 billion or $395 billion. Can you just kind of break this down for me a little bit, like 2.2 at least? And then we can talk about what the heck is a four later, but how does that 2.2 break down at a high level?
Well, the $2.2 trillion is for the CARES Act as a whole, right? So $350 billion of it was set aside for small business funding.
Well, I'm going to touch on that real quick. So the final bill actually went $377 billion. Small businesses, $377 billion. Big corporations, $500 billion. Okay. You have state and local governments, $339.8 billion. Okay. You have public health, hospitals, right? Medical staffing, all of that. $153.5 billion. I want to give a shout out to our medical industry real quick for all the help keeping up with everything going on right now. Thank you. You are a soldier in my eyes. I appreciate everything you've done. Individuals themselves, $560 billion. Education, $43 billion. And then there's a safety net, which is funny to me because I don't know what that is. And I know most of this. $26 billion. So that is your breakdown of the $2 trillion for you.
Yeah, so that's the $2.2 trillion is not just for, you know, small business funding. They allocated it was 350 up and down. You know, the dollar amount kept changing right up until the end, but it's in the $350 billion ballpark for these programs, the PPP, the EIDL, et cetera.
Got it. And so when we talk about like SBA Express loans, they've opened up SBA loans. They've made, you know, the SBA 7A as high as 10 million. Is that included in the 2.2, or SBA already had its own budget and so they're just picking into that?
Well, what's happening here is the $350 billion is essentially so that these programs can be funded, and that's 100% backed by the government, right, Chris? So like those programs, instead of being previously backed 75% by the SBA, now it's 100%, and that's what that money is going to.
No, I meant specifically like the SBA Express loan. Like, is that part of the $2.2 trillion, or is that a separate budget that the SBA has already always had?
So just going back to the previous products that the SBA had already, the Express loan was one of them. They increased the terms on that one from 10 years. I'm sorry, it's stuck at 10 years. I apologize. They went from 350,000 completely uncollateralized to 1 million completely uncollateralized. That was a program that was already created. They just expanded on it because of the
time. So yes, the money is being used for those purposes to expand the dollar amount, make things higher, extend the term out longer. So they're using the $350 billion as part of that to help that.
Okay. Got it.
You see, did that make sense? Cool. I'm sorry. I hope I answered exactly what you're asking.
Makes perfect sense. Okay, so now let's get a little realistic. So we're talking to the average person. There's this frenzy going on today. Everyone's trying to get to their bank. Some banks are, the big ones are saying, whatever, we don't care. Which, by the way, shame on you to the big banks. I really, this just irks me. I just feel like you got bailed out when you needed help. We're all here. You make billions of dollars. This is your opportunity to give back and be a patriot to this country. So seriously, I will absolutely not bank with any of you that are creating fusses because you don't get to make some money right now. Anyways, that's my little rant. I'm off of, I do these sometimes on the podcast.
I'm glad you did it. Thank you.
Yeah. It's, you know, Chase Bank of all, like, I'm calling you out. You are pathetic. And everything I've seen from you is pathetic. And so
yeah, I hope a lot of
everyone that you
we work with Chase too. So it's, you know, we don't want to, you know,
No. By the way, this is not Mike and this is not Chris. This is me. This is Onyx and Gall. I don't care if you guys don't like me, Chase. Okay. But I've been really worked up about it since last night because, you know, they're coming up with their own rules and regulations. And it just sucks, man, because us small entrepreneurs, we're trying to do whatever we can. I've got funds going out. I'm trying to give money to my students. Like, you know, it just kind of stinks. So this is my question. Besides my personal rant and anger towards them, realistically speaking, I want to throw some realistic things out there. People need money now, but I want to be, you know, I want to be fair. The government getting $2.2 trillion out the door, I don't envy that. It's hard. It came out of the blue. This isn't easy. So what is the realistic? What if someone goes, we'll go one by one. If I go and file an EIDL loan or a grant for $10,000, realistically, should I wait a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? At what point do I realistically feel like I'll get my money?
Well, they're getting out that $10K basically immediately. It's in a day or two, right, Chris? And then what they're doing is then they're underwriting your file to see how much more you qualify for. So say you're the kind of customer who can qualify for $100K. They're giving you that $10K essentially right away. Like you could have it, it's like a day or two. I think they say 2 to 3 days, but it's even shorter for the most part from what I'm hearing. And then in 2 weeks or so, that's when you'll hear the full amount you get. And then if you're qualified for 100, then they'll give you an additional 90 at that point. But the 10K is what they're pushing out right away. And it was designed to be a bridge, like a quick bridge, give you the money, get you your 10K, get you the full amount after. So that's why that came into play and why they're trying to push that out so quick on that particular loan.
So I have a lot of friends though. I haven't filed for EIDL yet because I haven't talked to you guys about it, but I do have friends that have filed almost 3-4 days ago when it first came out. They haven't heard anything, gotten any confirmations, definitely not gotten any money. So I'm just wondering, is that mean they're shit out of luck or what's going on?
Well, there was a huge problem when this program first came in. A bunch of people applied on the government website and the website kept crashing and essentially all of the information was kind of lost. Everyone had to go back to the drawing board and restart things. And that's what we kept saying. Like people think, I could do this on my own. It's like, well, good luck. I'll talk to you in a week when it doesn't go well.
It's one of the things where you come back and need to call me. You become a number, right? You become a number in a queue. You know, attentiveness is what we're going to provide for you. Not only that, but the servicing of the financing as well. But let me just go back to time frames and expectations. Because, you know, Mike did answer it to according to plan, let's call it. You are answering it in the reality, you know, of the situation. So, you know, what we like to think is that that money would be immediate. But the reality of it is that, A, what Michael just said, SBA website crashed. Everybody thought that they had applied and were waiting on a check, let's call it. Never received that check. Why? Because your info was completely erased.
Yeah, or an email or a call or anything.
The second thing is if you applied this week, other programs have been rolling out that a lot of these banks are devoting their resources to, losing their attentiveness on the EIDL. So that money is not going out the door because people are not looking for the $10,000, let's call it, and I don't want to make this sound at all wrong, but this is probably how a banker is looking at it, a handout, because we have business to do, right? Well, guess what? You guys aren't doing any business because you're too worried about your margins right now when people are losing jobs on a daily basis. So it's a matter of urgency and speed when they're worried about their bottom line. So I'm not going to go on too much of a rant. I think you said it best, but you know, I'm seeing where you're coming from. I'm on the same page on it. Trust me.
So then I literally have a couple of really close friends that filed for this 3-4 days ago and haven't heard anything. Should the messaging to them be, their whole thing may be lost. Like they should probably reapply or message you guys.
I would not say that it's lost because again, that was the previous week when the SBA was, you know, had their meltdown on their website. I would say that reach out to us, let us handle it going forward. You know, tell us a scenario similar to you and I meeting and Michael and you and I meeting. And we go about it the right way. You know, because this really needs and requires a professional.
Yeah.
I mean, there is so much red tape here on it. You know that. You know, you've read through the bill. We've read through the bill almost together a couple of times. It's just there is so much gray area, uncertainty, and red tape around where you actually can get it. Yeah. Hire a professional. It's like, let us lead you to the water.
Yeah, it's like Chris said, you hire a professional. So many people say, I could do that on my own. But when you need your taxes done, would you rather do it yourself or hire somebody like Tom? They you need a plumber. Do you call a guy to come or do you put your hand in the toilet? You know, you need someone who knows what they're doing to get things done correctly or end up with a big mess, literally or figuratively, depending on which example I guess
thanks,
you go with.
Thanks for that visual, Mike. I have to go the rest of my day now.
Yeah, does this usually go in that direction where we talk about toilets being clogged?
All right. So, you know, again, this podcast, I rarely will just sit and promote other things, but this is important. I see on the Facebook chat some people are asking, so I'll get the email address out again, info@corporatecapcapsolutions.com. And I recommend in the subject line, just put my name, Onyx Cingal, or put the Fighting Entrepreneur or something
definitely,
in there so that they know
you're coming
from having heard this episode.
Absolutely.
And let them do what they do, okay? Let them do what they do. I was lost, freaking completely lost, actually. And since I've started working with them, other opportunities have come up in other areas I never would have thought that I actually qualified for.
And you're someone who's been doing reading and looking into stuff too, Onyx. Most people don't even do as much work and background as you did. And you know, and you have advisors and people like Tom, your accountant, and even you were having some trouble. So most people are well behind you. So, you know, it's tough.
Well,
we get that.
We, you know, myself and my CFO, we went out there just so everyone understands the experience we had. We talked to multiple bankers. So between all of my companies, my personal, and of course my CFO and his personal, we actually have, we work with five different banks and they're not small banks. And the thing is this, and I don't blame them. As of a week ago, you're talking to the branch manager of your local bank, right? They're not experts at this.
No. Even if you're lucky.
Yeah. If you're lucky. They have no idea. So when I would ask them questions, they would say, oh, nothing on that is out. And I would find myself sending them a URL saying, actually, this is what was just said this morning. And so this was a big challenge for me. And it was very quick that I knew, look, I'm going to be in a race against potentially 30 million businesses that are going to be going for these programs. And I'm literally going to be racing against them to get my application up front. And if I don't have someone who's the person carrying, I can't carry my application. Like I'm not the one running with it. There's got to be someone at the bank or at whatever, whoever's representing me. And I was like, I got to find the fastest person that's going to carry that thing. And what I found really intriguing when I spoke to Chris and Mike was when they said, look, we know all the banks. We know all the guys. We know all the top people at these banks. We know who likes what kind of risk. We know who likes what kind of loans, who likes what kind of deals. We take your application specifically to a specific place. So for me, today being Friday, the day we're filming this, my PPP application's filed, right? And we got the paperwork to them. I don't know where they filed, what they did. It's filed. And so it's not my stress. They'll track it. They'll look at it and follow
right,
up.
Exactly.
And that is
worth it. You know, a lot of business owners are also trying hard to keep your business afloat, and they don't have time to do all this stuff. You know, someone out there, they're working 24 hours now to keep their business going, keep their people employed. They don't have time to fight with the banker. They don't have time to fill out all these papers and stuff. So we get that. We understand where people are coming from. So, you know,
that's a great point. But you know what, Onyx, another point to that as well is the fact that after this is done, servicing these, okay, people don't understand that. Again,
let's talk about that.
The loan. Okay, so let's just go into that. There is a covered period up until June 30th of this year. So we're about, you know, 8 weeks out, okay, give or take. At the end of the 8-week period, we, being the representative to whoever, are going to have to provide documentation to the banks that we obtain this money through for them to then forward through to the SBA to show them allocation of funds. This is key, and I want to touch on this, and I want to focus on this for 1 second because this is the most important caveat to this bill. If you do not allocate the funds correctly, I know people are telling you 100% forgiveness. You're getting phone calls and they're telling you too good to be true is being sent to you right now. Let's be realistic. There are guidelines to everything, and whether they be loose or not right now, there are still guidelines. So my point to you is when you are done with funding, there is still a job to be done. That's where we are going to help people from point A to point done. And that being the forgiveness period on June 30th and providing the proper documentation to make sure that this loan is forgiven. Because businesses are going to be in a recovery stage as well. So coming out of this thing, we don't want to have a gigantic bill placed in your lap. So there are nice little things like the deferment of payment, but also the forgiveness amount. What of this bill will you be left with when these times are done? We want to make sure to minimize that as much as possible, and we have the professionals in place to aid you and help you to do that. So again, whether it be on your own, not with us, or with us, make sure that after funding, you document, and if you're with a professional, make sure they're doing the same for you.
Yep, read, ask questions, know what your options are. Because if you can get the entire loan forgiven, why wouldn't you? You know, it just makes sense to find out the way to get as much of the money forgiven as possible. If you don't have to pay it back, why do you want to?
Yeah, I love that. And so we've talked about a lot of things. I want to summarize. That was, I'm so glad you brought that up, Chris, because I forgot to mention that. One of the biggest things was you know, it's one thing you get the money. So there's this massive rush of people money.
Exactly.
And let's just say they figure that part out. And okay, everyone has their money and we're all good and all okay. But then we all know how the IRS can be. And we all know how those departments can be. So later on, when you need to file paperwork saying, hey, listen, like I have forgiveness. I used the money like you said. I don't want my team completely slammed and busy with that. I want to run my business. Like I want to go off and once this economy starts to recover, I want to run and do what I do. And so when they said, hey, we service the thing, I remember asking, well, what do you mean by service it? And they said, well, you take care of all of it. You give us what we ask you and we file it. You know, that for me, that was huge. So we've talked about a lot of things, everybody. We've talked about the ability for you to be able to get a $10,000 EIDL grant. I mean, there's more money there if your business was hurt economically, but at least the $10,000 is something you can access really quickly. We've talked about the PPP program, which is payroll driven, but it's an amazing forgivable amount of money that you can capture that's open as of today. It's enrolling. Yep. If you know where to go and how to get there and which door to knock on. There are SBA loan programs that are far better now than they ever have been. And if you never thought about taking that loan before, this might be a great opportunity to help you in your business. I know that me and my companies, we are considering it because it is great. It's a great program and it will actually help me grow my company and invest into my company faster, which is literally doing what the government wants me to do right now. So it's a perfect partnership. And then there are other questions you might have. So again, info@corporatecapsolutions.com, yep. Subject line, put my name or put the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast. Last question really is one of curiosity. Since you guys are tapped into this, you're around this all the time. You know, just before I got on live with you, I read a message from a friend of mine on Facebook that said, Texas has gone ahead and extended the stay at home order till May 20th. Virginia said June 10th, like a week ago, like when the Virginia governor said it, he just went straight up.
Yep.
Northern Maryland.
We are nowhere clear the apex of this coronavirus. No. We are still climbing, escalating. It's scary. I'm not leaving my house. I don't care what the government says. They can open things back up. I'm not leaving my house for months. I'm a high risk patient.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little time myself before I run out there with everyone.
I don't see this economy turning around. We were today, the job report came out 4.4%. Unemployment. And then they literally said, by the way, that's not the real number because a survey was done a little while ago. We're probably closer to 10%.
Yeah.
This thing goes on for another month. We're going to be at 20%. So my whole thought process is this enough? Do you foresee more stimulus packages coming out similar to this, different than this? What are you seeing as the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely not enough money. And I know Chris has some thoughts on this too, about what he foresees coming with the, future stimulus packages and more money being rolled out. So I'll let him talk about that, but there's no way. This is definitely not enough. This is going to let that amount of money could be gone in like a week, 2 weeks, you know, it sounds like so much money at first until you start thinking about how many businesses, what they can apply for, how many employees they have, what they need, this and that. It's like, whoa, we're going to need a bigger boat here. So I'll let Chris handle that about what he thinks.
Thank you, Michael. So you said something very, very, very strong that resonated with me. Excuse me. Businesses getting out of this. We come from an industry, and this goes years back, bridge lending. There are companies out there that cannot go a month, let alone a day or a week without revenue. I mean, a lot of these small businesses are day-to-day revenue surviving, week-to-week revenue surviving. You go an entire month, you're looking at, you know, a small portion of businesses just because of that have already been closed up. Let's go 2 months. Now you see companies of your magnitude. You know, you run a lot of very, very reputable and very, very lucrative companies, Anik. You know, we've spoken to you not by mistake, so let's just be realistic about it, right? Another month of this. Let's imagine what's going to happen, right? We're going to have an upside down country, okay? So let me just be clear. If we do not put more money on the street within a 30-day period, that's what's going to happen. I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it. You'll have a couple of people that are very well off and do not need the money. That will be fine. But you're going to have a gigantic portion of our economy completely upside down. That's just the reality of it. So my future outlook here is by the end of this month, and if you guys watched any of the press conference yesterday, Mnuchin was very clear. If we need more, we will give more. And I think it's the best thing to say in this time, because the biggest problem that people are having is thinking, will I get the money? Will there be enough when I am approved? That is everybody's scare right now. Is there enough? Like Michael said, $350 billion sounds like a lot to the average individual. And when I say average, I mean, you know, average income, blue-collar worker, the people that we're supplying these loans to, okay? That is a tremendous amount of money. But when you think of it from a financing standpoint, knowing how many companies are in operation in this country, how many people alone, I mean, we have 365 million people on this country. So think about, you know, how many businesses we have. With that, compare it to the dollar amount that is being extended, this money's going to dry up in 2-3 weeks, not even. And I said that to you, Anik, when we first spoke. This money will be a Band-Aid for 2 weeks. If we get to the third week, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, we deal with companies, you know, we provide a lot of different funding options and stuff. So we go through people's bank statements a lot, see what they have to see what they might be able to qualify for, various things. And their average daily balances in their account are, you know, $1,500, $2,000. So even if they get a quick 10K on one of these products, even if they get, say, 30K from the PPP, it's going to be gone so fast. So, to answer your question, Hanukkah, the short answer is definitely not enough. And there's definitely going to be more coming because, quite simply, there has to be.
Has to be. There you go. I was just going to touch on the bank balances for a lot of the companies that we used to deal with years ago. I mean, this is when, again, it was a very niche product. But again, you're looking at $5, $10, $20,000 in a person's account. Let's say they have a kind heart. They don't want to lay people off. And they don't have revenue coming in. Let's think of an individual that's been shut down. And again, is forced to pay people. But again, they cannot make revenue. Think about your real estate guys. They own, you touched on this earlier. You have real estate investors out there that own multiple family units, multiple apartment units. These people cannot collect rent. They still pay their bills on it. This is going to catch up to us in more ways than one. So if there isn't enough money, we got a bigger problem.
So you mentioned listening to the Task Force press conference yesterday, and I did, and they're speaking about the next, you know, stimulus for infrastructure. Which to someone like me, I say, it's great and I'm all for it and I want better infrastructure, but it's not going to help me pay my bills tomorrow. So do you think there's going to be another program like the PPP for businesses? Or do you think they're going to go off and do more programs and stimulus, but in different industries and different types? So for example, the current PPP is supposed to cover 2 months of payroll. Maybe in 2 months, would they do another PPP? Or you're saying by the end of this month, they may come out with another PPP type of program?
But if they don't come out with it, they're going to at least have to put a plan in place for something to let people know what's going to be coming. Otherwise, you know, they're just going to, I don't even know what people are going to do with their money. Like, there's just no telling. Like, the people need to know because, you know, they keep pushing back the date. Like you said, you know, it's June. Who knows? Then it's going to go to July, August, when people, they can't open their doors. So, you know, 2 months of payroll, what's that really going to do in the grand scheme if they tell people they can't go outside until August? So
I'm going to put a pretty scary scenario in front of you, and I don't want to scare your viewers, but I want to put this in perspective for you. We were on the phone 2 days ago with the head of Chamber of Commerce for a very, very lucrative area. All right. She has a base of about 300,000 companies. Okay. They are calling her because they don't know what to do. Okay. Number one, I am involved in a big charter school group. Okay. 9,000 across the nation. They are calling me. Anik, your network. Okay?
Shout out Julie Gordon. About,
I just gave you a scenario this morning that I told you that 1,900 loans were issued and a couple of $100 million were thrown. So let's just do the simple math. How much longer will this last? So when Michael says about preemptively putting something together, I think it should have been done yesterday. And you spoke about infrastructure, which is, yes, they touched on it, but Mnuchin was very specific to, again, where the money is. Trump was more or less, interest rates are zero, let's build our country up, right? I think we all heard the same thing. The other side of it was Mnuchin, more or less stating, again, if we need more money, we will give more money. I know Trump, he's a businessman. I don't know on a personal level, but I just read a lot of his books, and obviously, I know his business background. With that being said, he understands that money is going to get us through this. I got to be honest with you. The Fed understood that, but the way that it was operated with the banks, listen, I have my own opinions. I'm going to stick to this. He knows that money needs to be in the pockets of these individuals ASAP. And if it's
and
not.
There's an election coming up in November, and he knows these people are going to be voting. They're going to remember what he does here if he gets that money or not. So
this will create the biggest bubble that we've ever seen. I'm not going to talk about a real estate bubble. You know, bad investments. almost creating a virus and making their way into everybody else's investment portfolio and every investment in our country. This is not what that is. Those investments cease to exist without money. Without money, you have zero. And without the money in the operations of these smaller companies, we will have zero. We will be upside down. You have a lot of smaller businesses that literally, they service your supermarkets, your laundromats, your general contractors, okay? Your convenience stores, all right? Your dry cleaners, your gyms, your nice mom and pop restaurants, okay, that everybody loves to go to because they do something unique. This will be a thing of the past. And I stress to the U.S. government, but more importantly to corporate America, reach out to somebody and get your hands on this money. We want to see this through for you. We want to make sure you're here on the other side, and the other side's coming quick. All right, solutions are there. Please find them. You have our information. If you can't, we will for you.
And Anik, if I could just put out a word of warning to people, beware of people who are going to be charging you big upfront fees to do this for you, because then they're going to submit it, never follow through. You know what I mean?
So glad you touched on that,
Michael. There's so many, we've come across so many things in the past couple of days of there's sharks in the water trying to take advantage of people. So just be smart about what you do. If I could give one piece of advice, it would be, well, it'd have to be two. Like Chris has said, get your hands on some of this money. But two, do it correctly. Make sure you don't get conned. Make sure you don't talk to some guy who's going to screw you out of your money, because times are tough and there's always someone out there trying to take advantage. So just everyone be careful. That's the main thing I would
say. I definitely want to second that. It's so easy to charge the fee right now and to run away with the fee. And the way that Corporate Cap Solutions works is they don't work like that. So basically Corporate Cap Solutions, they perform for you and then they get a fee, right? So you have to get funded first.
There's nothing up front.
Yeah. And that's powerful. And I want to commend you guys for that. Really, that's a service to the country right now. Like this is what I wish. Yeah, this is what I wish the banks would be doing. This is what the banks should be doing. This is the heart of service that they're not delivering. But again, that's a separate episode. I'll definitely have my own rant. I don't want to get these guys in trouble.
I'll look forward to that one.
So you know what? Someone that's listening to us brought up this question, and this is my last question. But this is an opinion question because I don't actually understand where this money is coming from. So a two-part question. When we went into this thing, we were $22 trillion or whatever in debt, and at this point, it's just become a joke. No one even cares. It just goes up. Are we now going to be $24 trillion in debt, or is this us printing money? So the debt's not getting added. It's just us printing money. And if in that case, are we worried at all about massive inflation in a Venezuela type of situation here 6 months from now? Especially if we keep giving more money, $2 trillion, $2 trillion, $2 trillion, it just keeps rolling.
Any ideas? A question for an economist. I don't want to over.
I didn't know if maybe in your guys' circle anyone talks about
it. I have some answers and thoughts, but I would rather not get into it and give wrong information to be like, well, that guy's an idiot or something, because I know what I know and I don't want to give anyone the wrong ideas about stuff. I think Chris has some info that he could share though, but if not, you know, we'll just say, you know, send it to an economist.
Well, I mean, you got to look at historical figures, right? So you're looking at situations that were kind of similar. Okay, because it's all created by debt. All right, so this is a different type of debt. Okay, let me be clear. Again, the U.S. government is not issuing the funds. The funds are being funneled through the banking system into the consumer's hand. Upon June 30th, and again, providing these docs, and that's why I go back to my previous comment, this is imperative that you stay on top of the documentation or you will be paying a sizable loan back. The idea is for the government to pay back the bank. So at the end of the covered period, the SBA will circle back with the banks. Again, this is where we get all of our ducks in a row for you and present it to SBA for the forgiveness amount. Now, that is the government intervention part of it. But initially, the money is run through the banks. So the banks are going to be exposed for quite some time. And I think this has a lot to do with the hesitancy from the larger brands because they have bankable clients. They have a lot of their money being allocated in different areas. So let's call it close up shot and direct all resources to the PPP wasn't top of the list. Okay. But whatever, that's fine. It isn't, but you know, I wish they would be a little more flexible. Long story short, inflation. Do I believe it will be created? Well, I mean, it all depends on, again, how many companies make it through this. How much of that money is going to be forgiven, right? Are these companies, the biggest fear from the banks is that companies have already gone belly up, right, Anik? So if a company's gone belly up, then they're not going to be forgiven. Now, that's a bad loan. how many of those bad loans will be created from this? That is the U.S. government's concern. That is the banker's concern. But there had to be a bet somewhere, right? The bet on the housing crisis was on the house, and it was on the individual to pay that mortgage. Unfortunately, that house did not generate revenue. In this case, the bet is on the business, which again, as long as operations are continuing, you're not closing your doors, and your employees can get paid, well, eventually, and again, this is why there's that deferred payment, eventually you will be making money, right? You're going to be back to generating revenue. So it's more of a safer bet. So all those people out there listening, and they're concerned that this is going to create, you know, the 2008 mortgage crisis again, let me try to alleviate a little bit of that, because again, it's a little bit safer of a bet, putting the money, the bet, on the business owner to make it through to June 30th, and then after June 30th, be back up and operational, revenue generating, so that when their payments kick in, they can pay. So I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I'm not going to take any more of your time. I understand right now just how absolutely busy you are. And the fact alone that you came on to do this interview means a lot to our entire Learn Nation community. And so thank you very much. Everybody, here's the deal. If you feel you qualify or you feel that this is relevant to you, then you just send an email to info@corporatecapsolutions.com. If you're watching this podcast, the email address should be in the description below. You can go to onikpodcast.com, A-N-I-K-podcast.com. We'll put it in the description there as well. If you're watching us live right now on Facebook, as soon as I end this, I'll go ahead and put it in the description as well. So info@corporatecapsolutions.com. In the subject line, make sure you put either my name or put the Fighting Entrepreneur Podcast. And of course, listen, this always happens. I understand we're a little antsy and we're all on edge a little bit, but please be respectful. If you email them, give them some time. Don't email them again 3 hours later saying, where's my reply? They're getting completely inundated, and I can tell you that because I'm part of the reason they're getting inundated. I'm sending a lot of people their way. So let's just let them filter through all of it. We'll and just know that everybody will take good care of you. Just give them a little bit of time to get there. Mike, Chris, any final closing words? Thank you again. On behalf of, you know, myself and as a patriot of this country, thank you for what you guys are doing. It is awesome and very timely and needed right now. But I wanted to give you the final words.
I think I already gave my final words. It's really just get your hands on some of this money. It's there. You just need to know how to get it. You deserve it. You know, you need it. You deserve it. And just be wary of people trying to pull one over on you. Protect yourself at all costs. And good luck to everybody. You know, whether we hear from you or not, but you know, we're pulling for everyone out there. So, Chris.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I just want to let you guys know that we are here for you. Whatever the services are, you know, if it's a new loan, if it's just this PPP loan, we have all of them. But most importantly, to focus on the PPP, the money's there. All right. It's about finding it. We are specialists in finding the money for you. Not just us. There are multiple companies out there to do what we do. All I would say, I'll leave you with this, find a representative. You will need it in this instance. There's only a short amount of money. Make sure you get a piece of it. Outside of that, good luck and everybody stay safe. And I thank you so much for the show. Patriot as well. God bless America. And we're going to get to this.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes. God bless America. God bless this world because we're all in this together. And this is one day that I say I'm very fortunate. And so all you people out there complaining about America sucks, shut your mouth because we are probably the best suited right now to be able to deal with this.
And we will.
You know, we're very fortunate right now where we are. So count your blessings. And gentlemen, thank you very much. For everybody else,
thank you,
go
Alex.
Ahead.
Thank
you know
you,
what
everybody.
I always say, when life pushes you, which it certainly is right now, stand straight, smile, push it the heck back. If you guys need, if you need their help, info@corporatecapsolutions.com and put subject line, put my name or put the Fighting Entrepreneur. I did not refer you to anyone that I'm not personally going through this journey with right now myself. So with that said, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you keep fighting for your dreams. All right. This is no excuse to start binge watching Netflix and watching that stupid tiger show. I need you to go out there and actually do some work. Help us get back. The more you fight for your dreams, the more our economy comes back. So go out there, stay safe, stay inside. Talk to you soon. Love you guys. This is Onyx and Gall signing off. Talk to you later.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx and Gall.